The Dub D Dub Review podcast is proud to have two great sponsors, the Magic for Less Travel Agency and the Theme Park Brothers. The Magic for Less is an authorized Disney vacation planner. Let the agents for the Magic for Less, including our very own Laura Fitzpatrick, help take care of the important details like dining reservations, fast pass planning, and discount checking to ensure that your next Disney vacation will create memories to last a lifetime. Plus, their services are completely free. You pay nothing and can benefit from their years of knowledge and experience. More information can be found on themagicforless.com. We've also partnered up with the Theme Park Brothers. Michael, Jordan, Cameron, and Christina Black have some of the nicest quality Orlando attraction videos on YouTube. Subscribe and check out their latest videos, which are sure to keep you entertained, as well as keep you informed of all the latest changes to the Walt Disney World Resort. Search for the Theme Park Brothers on Facebook and YouTube, and at Theme Park Boys on Twitter. Hello, and welcome to the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my co-host, Peter Ponacorval. How you doing, Pete?
Good, Chris. How about you?
Good, buddy. Pete, I'm excited. We're going to continue on with our series of educational Disney experiences, and I needed some experts, so I got two more experts to throw at you. But it's a team. It's a tag team. They're from our own very state, so... Without any further delay,
we're not going to be tested, are we?
You got a pen.
I didn't study for any of that. I don't even have a pen.
Go get a pen.
I didn't know it was going to be classroom time. Come on.
Well, it is classroom time because I have two educators, a husband and wife, Tim and Amy Van Swole. How you guys doing?
Great.
Doing really well.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me, guys. I appreciate it.
We're glad to be here.
So you guys I know you listen to the show frequently, so you're aware I throw some trivia at you. And I want to make this quick because I tasked you with probably the toughest question I've asked of any guest so far. And so I want to give you guys the dance floor. But first, I can't let you go without throwing some trivia at you, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So there's a theme here. And Pete, feel free. You're included in the trivia. There's a theme here. And I'm going to quote from, you know, a person really influential in the Disney podcast community. He's got a book out. Actually, not even the Disney podcast community. It's the Disney media community. But I'm going to quote from a Walt Disney World trivia book from Lou Mangiello. He's got some great stuff. So Here's question number one. Disney's Port Orleans Resorts is situated along the banks of the Sasagula River. What does the word Sasagula mean? And if you want a hint, let me know.
I know this. I know that it's a man-made river, and that they just kind of made it up for the resorts. But I don't remember what its meaning came from.
Okay, so you want some hints, Tim?
I do.
All right, here we go. So, is it the original French name for the area in Louisiana where New Orleans is now located? Is it the last name of one of the Disney Imagineers? Is it a completely made-up word with no meaning? Or is it an Indian word for the word Mississippi?
I think I keep coming back to that completely made-up word with no meaning.
That's what I think, too.
Yes.
You're wrong.
Don't.
It is the Indian word for Mississippi.
Okay.
Oh, that already sounds like an Indian word, so I was just going with that.
So, interesting, huh? Because... it's one of my favorite boat rides.
Yes, I agree.
The resort boat ride is one of my favorite boat rides. All right, so that's trivia number one. Here's trivia number two. Now, that was a hard one. Here's some softballs. In which World Showcase country did Cirque du Soleil originate?
China?
Canada.
Canada. I love the Canada. It is Canada. Canada. Yes, it is Canada. Remember, Martin Short says...
It's a French-Canadian...
That's right, it is.
Correct.
Circus.
Yes.
Martin Short, I think, and I'm going to be wrong, I think he says it's on the streets of Montreal or Toronto where it originated. So,
okay.
I guess I can't be wrong when I name two cities, right? All right, and here's the
as
last...
As they're both in Canada, I guess she had a pretty good shot.
What is the main building of the Polynesian resort called? Peter, this one's for you.
It's the ceremonial house.
The Great Ceremonial House. Yeah. That a boy. Okay. So, what do all three of these have in common? I'm kind of throwing a softball to you right now, Tim and Amy. What do all three of those have in common?
Sassagula River, the Grand Ceremonial House, and Cirque du Soleil.
I'm using fuzzy kind of connections here.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
Lord, I got a good Lord already.
Those are the kind of connections I'm used to, but I make those all the time. I just can't understand somebody else's.
All right, so here's the connection. Those are all experiences that are highly educational that are outside the parks. So that was the question I posed to you guys, is I'm looking for part two of my program. I'm looking for the top five educational experiences outside the parks.
There you go.
So I tasked you guys with that, and I know you made a list, and you kind of, you know, gave me a few of the details, and I was completely blown away by the amount of detail you put into it. So I'm looking for some educational experiences. Let's say you go to Walt Disney World, and you're not going to go to the parks, but you have the kids with you. Mm-hmm. Where could you take us? So I know I give you five each. Did you guys come up with five, or did you have more than that?
Five.
You guys got five? Okay. Yep. So let's go back and forth. If you don't mind, we'll start with ladies first. Amy, you are up. Give me an educational experience outside of the Disney park. And if you wanted to rank them, I would go from order of least significant to the most important in your mind.
Okay. We will do that. The first one that I have is Campfire Stories. Each of the resorts, or most of them anyway, have an area where you can roast marshmallows, and there's a storyteller sitting there telling you old fables and folklore of the area, some of which is completely made up, and some of which comes from the history of Florida. And education started as storytelling, so it also helps you creative think, and it's also just a lot of fun to do.
Using your imagination?
Yes.
Right? Didn't Walt Disney have a quote earlier that, you know, well, he was known as the greatest storyteller, and he says part of the education process and entertainment process is it works most successfully if they don't know they're being educated.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, excellent. Excellent. Very good. Tim, number one for you.
All right. So I'm going to take you to the Contemporary Resort. And the Contemporary Resort has an experience that's called the Disney Family Culinary Adventure. This is where guests are introduced to the kitchen. And when you get there, you're assigned to one of five stations. You're going to either be assigned to the cold kitchen, which is where you'll be doing prepping of fruits and veggies and making farmer's cheese. You might go to the sushi station, where you'll experience the art of preparing sushi and sashimi. The butcher station teaches you how to trim fillets from a beef tenderloin. And you might go to a pasta station, where you'll be making fresh pasta and learning how to make basil pesto, or the patisserie station, where you'll be baking and creating creative desserts. After you've participated in the actual cooking, you will then have the opportunity to experience a five-course dinner, which you helped to prepare part of. That five-course dinner includes demonstrations of molecular cooking. And at the end, participants get a chef's hat and a signed Disney cookbook. The experience costs, I think it's $125 for kids 9 to 12, and it's $175 for guests 12 and older.
Okay.
It's because we're going to eat more.
That's right.
So Tim, once you mentioned this, I know that Pete right now is thinking, Tim, I need that phone number.
So. I'm pretty sure they won't let me in that.
Because you're going to eat more than $179?
I'm going to eat more than I'm supposed to, especially if they put me in the sushi station.
What a deal that is, because when you think about the cost of just dinner alone in the Contemporary, what would that cost an adult? What does California Grill cost an adult?
At least $100 a person if you do it right.
Right? So here you get an experience for what would be between, say, roughly $175. You get that unique experience, plus you get some really cool souvenirs to go home with.
Absolutely.
So yeah, I know. I guess there should be a difference. We should consider expensive, you know, or value. And yeah, I know on the surface it might seem expensive, but still a good value.
So, but it's a twofer experience. So you're getting the educational experience, but you're also getting to enjoy a wonderful meal as well.
That's awesome. Do you know, Tim, where do they eat?
I'm not sure. I don't see that on the – I didn't come across that.
Okay. I'd like to find out. That would be really cool. I wonder if they actually bring you up to the California Grill area to eat.
I don't know.
I'll do a little research and I'll post it. That'd be cool. So,
okay.
All right. Amy, you're up with number two.
All right. Pirate Adventure Cruises at Caribbean Beach and Port Orleans Riverside and the Grand Floridian. They have an experience for ages 4 through 12 that you drop your kids off at an area by the dock and cast members take your children on a scavenger hunt and an adventure. And they actually learn to follow a map to be able to find the pirate's treasure at the end. The cost is $37, which is not bad at all. It's about an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I've had a lot of friends be able to do this with their kids, and they absolutely love it. And it's like you were saying earlier, they don't even know they're learning, and they're just having so much fun.
So really, the average cost is like below $20 an hour to have a babysitter for your kids, right?
Exactly.
That's pretty much what we're paying right now anyways.
Exactly.
So let's be honest, you had me once you said drop your kids off.
Exactly.
Whatever you said after that, it didn't matter. So.
Yes.
Okay, really cool. I have seen that before at the Contemporary. I did see kids messing around, by the beach at that point and by the boat dock and whatnot, but I guess that wouldn't happen now by the beach. But I have seen that before. It looked,
yes,
it looked pretty neat. Of course, my 9-year-olds are looking on longingly, like, can we do that, Dad? No. No. They didn't buy it, so...
Now you're thinking, I can drop them off for a couple hours.
Exactly. All right, Tim, you're up with number two.
All right. I must have been hungry when I was making my list. Either that or I was just thinking about Pete, you know, and trying to please him. But my second one is also food related. So this is going to be at the Yachtsman Steakhouse. This is an experience called The Secret of Flavor, and it is new this year, and it's specifically during the Food and Wine Festival that this takes place. And what they do is they call it a savory smorgasbord for your mind as well as your taste buds. It's a lunch. It's a 3-course luncheon, and in the course of this luncheon, they teach participants how each of your 5 senses impacts your fondness for specific foods. So they're going to kind of educate you as to all of the senses and how they're involved in the secrets of flavor.
What's the cost?
Cost is $129 per person for this.
Wow.
And it goes from noon to 2. So it's not a fast thing. It's a two-hour experience.
Okay, so if you guys didn't have kids and you were down there, is this something you would consider doing for yourself?
Absolutely. I think that would be something that would be fun to do.
We would love it.
Peter, how about you? You're going on vacation. Is this something you would consider if you were going during Food and Wine?
excuse me. Yeah, I'd consider it. It might be a little pricey, but you know, that happens.
Especially
at Disney World, but
especially the Yachtsman. What does lunch at the Yachtsman usually cost? It must be $40-$50 for lunch.
Well, I know it's a 2 dining credit, so you're looking. You got to cover $85 to make it worth the cost of the two credits.
Tim, I was thinking the Contemporary at $179 was a good deal, but to me, this seems like a better deal.
Yeah, I think so. They don't list any specific takeaway gifts that you get, but I would imagine there might be something. But yeah, that sounds like a really good deal at $129.
And you're also not having to cook your own food, which is also a plus in my opinion.
It's true. Very true.
And you could pair this with dropping your kids off at the kids' clubs and go, you know, you could combine Amy's and mine.
Which is my next point, yes.
Oh Tim, I was going to say, masterfully done, Tim. Masterfully done. You put two into one. I like it. So, go ahead, Amy.
All right. So the next one is kids clubs. So if you go to the Yachtsman, you can drop your kids off at the Sandcastle at the Beach Club. There's also Lilo's Playhouse at the Polynesian and Simba's Clubhouse at Animal Kingdom and Camp Dolphin as well at the Dolphin. They do all sorts of very fun educational opportunities with your kids. Everything from learning physics and building their own exploding volcano in something called a lava flow.
Oh, thank gosh, it's not at my house.
You get to pay them to clean up, I guess. And then Ratatouille, they have a Ratatouille cooking school as well, where they teach your kids different cooking skills. You can train to be a pirate and have imaginary play. This is for ages 3 through 12. Dinner is provided. At the Beach Club and the Polynesian, it's a $55 flat fee for, I believe, up to 3 hours of care. And the other two, it's $15 an hour.
Wow. Okay, so this is a really good value here for a parent. So up to 3 hours, you said?
Yes.
$55, less than $20 per hour, easy, and they get dinner.
Correct.
So, yeah, it's expensive, but in terms of Disney money and overall money in the world, that's a really good, not to mention, they're really, it's like almost like a classroom experience for them, you know, the volcano science experiment.
Yeah, they keep them very engaged and entertained the whole entire time.
That sounds really cool. Have you guys ever done that with your kids? Was it around when you took Preston and Caden? Was it something you guys considered?
Well, we thought about it at the time, but we were in that iffy category when we went, where Caden was technically young enough, but Preston wasn't. Mm. So we couldn't drop them both off, so it didn't really work for us. But I have had friends who have done it, and their kids have loved it.
Okay. So, yeah, you know, I guess let's find somebody who's gone to the kids' club, but, well, heck, I tell you what. It'll probably be me.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to throw my kids in there eventually. But, yeah, I bet you that's a really nice option. That way, you know, even in my perspective, I know Pete loves – I mean, you go deluxe dining, don't you, big guy, every time you're down there? Or you like to dine at the fancier restaurants, correct?
Really?
Yeah. So for us, it's always just – it's quick service. It's what we can get away with having the kids, you know, stay full themselves and, mm-hmm. you know, eat kind of quickly. So this would be a great option for that.
A lot of people that I've known have done it. They've gone to Victoria and Albert's and dropped their kids off at that, so they were able to go and enjoy themselves.
That would make complete sense to me.
Yeah. So.
All right, Tim, number three for you.
All right, this one is not food related. This is an experience at Disney's Vero Beach Resort. And this is something that just came to my attention recently. I didn't even know that Disney had a resort at Vero Beach. And it is a sea turtle conservation area. Evidently, the beaches where Disney built their resort at Vero Beach are some of the most important beaches for turtle nesting in the entire Western Hemisphere. They have three species of turtles that nest there between the months of May and October. They are the loggerheads, the green sea turtle, and the leatherbacks. And this is all kind of in keeping with Walt Disney's love of nature and his commitment to conservation. So during May to October, you can join outings that they take to go out and observe the turtles in their nesting areas when the season is going. And kids ages 7 to 15 can participate in what they call turtle troop, where they are able to walk along the beaches there, and they take them on these educational walks where they identify tracks and they learn about the nesting behaviors. And afterward, they can adopt a sea turtle whose development can be tracked on the internet.
Hmm. You said you didn't know there was a Vero Beach Resort before?
No, this is just something that came to my attention recently.
Cool. I've been there, and I've not stayed overnight, but we went for a day trip, and their whole theme of, like, the gift shop and the creature is all sea turtles. Mm. So, of course it would be. But I've been to the resort. It's very nice. It's lovely. We didn't know if we would be beach people, but we literally were there for 6 hours, and we looked at each other and said, yeah, we could be here for easily 3-4 days and not get tired. Going back to your statement, though, they have a trained beagle. Are you aware of this?
No.
they have a trained beagle. I don't know. It's obviously it's not owned by Disney, but there is probably a rescue in the area or some kind of, I guess you'd say, animal facilitator in the area. And he is trained specifically to sniff out turtle egg like nests. So they'll bring him on the beach, and he'll go, you know, from spot to spot trying to find these turtles. And then they'll flag them so kids don't walk on and play in the area, and they're flagged. And he's kind of a little Disney celebrity. He appears at multiple things for Disney. He's been at the, you know, the Living Seas for like a big convention and whatnot. So, but he's kind of a little celebrity out there.
That's so, really cool.
Yeah, that's a, and that might be the most educational experience I've mentioned so far.
Yeah.
So, really cool. Amy, you are up with number four.
Okay, so for some fun, interactive, educational experiences, head out to Fort Wilderness Campground. There are several things that you can do out there, one of which for ages 7 and up is archery lessons. It's a 90-minute lesson. They limit it to 10 guests, and it's $45 for that time. They train them to hit different kinds of targets and how to hold the bow and arrow properly. So that is a lot of fun. I know that my son wanted to do that at one point. We'll see if we actually make it out there. So the other thing is Wilderness Backtrail Adventures. This looked like a lot of fun to me. They actually take you on a two-hour Segway ride.
Yeah, the Segway tour.
Yes. They didn't have a price for that online, but it looked like a lot of fun. They had a training area that they would take you to first, and then they would take you out on the trails and teach you about things that are back there.
You always see those dudes buzzing around when you're at Trail's End. You look out on the main strip there, and they're always buzzing around in four or five, you know, in a row. So,
yes.
Pretty cool.
And then the last thing there, too, are the horses. You can see them making horseshoes. And the dragon calliope that Walt bought for Disneyland. You can also learn about the different breeds of horses at the Tri-Circle Ranch. And you can even take horse rides if you're ages 9 and up for $46 for a 45-minute ride.
Hmm. Well, I've got one favorite trivia question about those horses. And I might have even mentioned it to you in the past, but let's see if you remember. What is the most popular breed, or what is the breed most commonly used at the Tri-Circle D Ranch?
It starts with a P.
It does start with a P. It's not Peter.
No. So.
Is it Percheron or something along those lines?
Oh, you aced it. That a boy. It is a Percheron.
That's it.
Yeah, they have a couple Clydesdales, but their horse they use is a Percheron, which is slightly smaller in stature. Extremely strong, but also it has a good temperament around people, and it's got the ability to not be easily spooked by the fireworks and whatnot. So it's called a Percheron. Don't ask me why I remember that, but I remember that. So.
That's awesome. And I love that you can see the the horse from the Headless Horseman's ride during the Halloween party is out there.
Yeah.
And the horses that pull Cinderella's carriage and even the ones that take the trolleys up and down Main Street. So,
all right. So the horse part, here's the best part. Pete, have you ever been to the Tri-Circle D Ranch?
Nope.
Okay, you've got to go, and I'll explain why. What's the price, Amy?
It's free.
It's free. That's the best part. It's free. And when you see these magnificent animals up close, I mean, they literally come out, and they'll let you pet their snout and whatnot, even though the sign says don't. But
they're very friendly.
They're very friendly. It's just as impressive as seeing like a tiger. When you see how massive these horses are and how strong they are. And to see that dragon calliope, that's almost equally as impressive. You press the button and all of a sudden, before you know it, you've got like 30 instruments playing off in different directions. It's pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, if you've not been there, I highly recommend it. So, excellent. Fantastic. Tim, you are up, my friend.
All right, so... being a regular listener of the show, I know how you and Pete like to take liberties and try to twist things a little bit, especially in your contest. So what? I'm taking a little bit of liberty with this one.
He's talking about you directly, Pete, I think.
I'm gonna kind of fuse two ideas because I was trying to come up with my list of five, and I just couldn't separate these two. So I'm calling this segment like multi-generational opportunities. So
this sounds like something Laura would pull with like an entire pavilion or something.
True.
All right. So the first part of this multi-generational opportunity is kind of related to pop culture. It takes place at the Pop Century. They have shadow boxes displays on their walls in the area of where you go in and check in at the Pop Century Resort. They're very colorful. They reflect the different eras or the different decades that are reflected at the Pop Century Resort. So there are 50s related boxes that are very vintage 50s Disneyland and focused around the original Mickey Mouse Club. There's 60s beach themed boxes. The 70s boxes are kind of all around all sorts of different fads. The 80s, they have things like Pez dispensers, and one of the things that caught my eye was the like a decorative plate that features the Where's the Beef lady from the old Wendy's commercials. I'm really dating myself now. So, and then the 90s, they have all sorts of things like salad shooters and the George Foreman grills. And it's really neat. Just I thought that this would be a cool opportunity for families that are traveling together, that you could have all sorts of generations from grandparents all the way down to the kids. And these shadow boxes would be great conversation starters for the older generations to talk to the younger kids and say, oh, I remember having those kinds of things in my home and just an opportunity for them to bond through these cherished memories from their past.
I love it. And what is the cost for that?
That's a zero cost as well. You can do like self-guided tours. They do have free tours offered like once daily, I think, by a cast member. But it's something that you could definitely do on your own, and it costs absolutely nothing.
You know, and Tim, it's like you just gave me the greatest lead-in ever. So one of our sponsors is called Theme Park Brothers. It's Michael Black, Christina Black, and their boys. But he's got a walkthrough of the Pop Century, and he literally shows you those boxes you're talking about. So I know he was confused. He couldn't figure out what one item was. It happened to be a telephone, but it looks nothing like a telephone you could recall. So it is a oddly shaped plastic yellow item, but yeah, he actually shows it. So if you want to see what those look like, go to the Theme Park Brothers on YouTube. You can find out what they look like. So that's a great suggestion.
Awesome.
So,
all right, so the second part of my multi-generational activity, and to be honest, this is just one of my favorite things absolutely to do outside the parks, and I wanted to find a way to work it in, but that is to experience Yeehaw Bob Jackson at Port Orleans Riverside. He appears multiple times a week at the River Roost Lounge at Port Orleans Riverside. He's a piano player, and he has just a really high-energy, interactive show that he does in this lounge. And he does all sorts of like older songs that that really get people involved. He gets people up dancing. He gets people singing along. And he does songs like Sarah, Sitting on the Shed House Floor. Got to really be careful how you say that one. And My Bonnie Lies Over the Ocean, American Pie. What's most impressive, I've never heard anything like this in my life, is he performs the Bumblebee Boogie Woogie. It's basically the Flight of the Bumblebee, if you know what that is, played on the piano, but it's amazing how fast his fingers move on this piano, and the piano is literally rocking back and forth on rockers as he's playing it. He's jumping up and down as he's playing, and it's just fabulous.
Holy cow.
You have so much fun at this, you just can't help but let your adult inhibitions go. And you just become the biggest kid, no matter how old you are.
Have you seen it more than once, or have you seen it multiple times? Or
yeah, we've seen it multiple times.
Peter, have you ever seen Yeehaw Bob?
I have not gotten over there to see him yet.
Look, we're such terrible podcasters, because I can honestly say, too, I have not seen Yeehaw Bob live.
He's incredible.
Yeah, I have to remedy that. I mean, I've watched his whole show on YouTube multiple times, but I it won't do it justice. I know I've got to see it live. So
you do, and yeah. He just draws you in ways you can't even imagine. So
is there a bad seat in there? Where would be the best place to see it?
We got there the last time about 45 minutes early, which was good. So we got a really nice up front row seat. He actually pulled Preston up and sang happy birthday to him and everything.
Sit up close. Okay.
Yeah. But you know, we've also sat we've seen it many times, and we've sat way back in the lounge that's not even right in the area, or just stood looking. There's open areas that you can just stand and look in, and you can definitely see the whole thing.
Well, and he finds a way to draw people in no matter what. He'll ask questions, and he'll point out somebody that's just walking by and force them to answer some question. You know, hey, where are you from? And no matter where you're from, everybody in the crowd, like, you know, says hi, and he just finds a way to draw everyone into the show, no matter how far or close you are sitting.
I know he's thought of with I'm almost iconic status, so yeah. I know he doesn't have a window on Main Street, but a person like that, look, I haven't even seen the show live, but I'm fully aware of who he is, and it's like on a bucket list for me to see him. This is the kind of guy that will have a window on Main Street eventually, I would think.
I would think so, yeah.
So that's an awesome suggestion. So I'm writing down Yeehaw Bob. Mm-hmm. Amy, you're up with your last one.
All right. So for some of the best educational and the best experiences, I'm sorry, try that again. For some of the best educational experiences and some of the best fun, head to Animal Kingdom Lodge. They have two experiences. For ages 10 and up, they have something called the Sense of Africa. Now, this includes breakfast at Boma, and though it seems quite pricey, it's a 3.5-hour tour for $249. But they start you off with talking about the art and architecture of the building and talking to Imagineers there, and then they take you out to the animal care staff where you get to interact with with the animals and the people and how they feed them and take care of them. Whoa. So you get breakfast at Boma as well on top of this incredible experience.
Whoa, that's awesome. Is it like a safari then as well too?
I don't believe so. I think it is more interacting with the zookeepers and people who work with the animals. But you do get up close to, like, the giraffes and things like that and get to feed some of the animals as well.
So for every adult, when they were young, that said, I want to be a zookeeper, this is your chance, right?
Yes.
So
this one's for ages 10 and up.
Okay. So no one under the age of 10 can go. So all the little guys, they'd be completely jealous. But what an awesome experience that would be.
Well, they can go to Simba's.
There you go.
Play. Yeah. So the other one is called the Starlight Safari. And this one's for ages 8 and up. It's an hour-long nighttime safari where you get night vision goggles. And you go around on this safari and spot over 30 different species of animals during that time. And the price isn't terrible for that, in my opinion. It is $74.17. For an hour-long personal safari ride.
Yeah. So, again, remember, expense and value are two different things. And mm-hmm. think about this. Where else can you do this?
Because exactly.
It's not like that opportunity exists, you know, outside of really Florida or Africa, you know.
Right.
So for $74, it might be one to just say, okay, there's $150. There's Pete. You and Missy go out and have a good time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So good. That sounds excellent. And that's for ages 8 and up, you said, correct?
Yes.
All right, I'm writing that down. Have you guys stayed at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, or have you just visited?
We've just been by it, yes.
We've stayed once, and everything people say about it, it's all 100% true. It is one of the most impressive resorts they have on property.
It is beautiful.
We got a little pixie dust sprinkled on us, because we reserved just a standard one-bedroom. We ended up with a safari view. They upgraded us. And, you know, I know people say, oh, the experience of seeing giraffes out your window, and you think, yeah, that's kind of cool. Until you actually see a giraffe outside your window, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, this is about the coolest thing I've seen. So,
it's
incredible.
That would be amazing.
It is amazing. Tim, you are up. Hit us up with number 5.
All right. So for my last one, I am going to talk about holiday decorations. I thought that one of the best things that we did on our last trip when we went at Thanksgiving time last year was to go around to the different resorts and experience all of the holiday decorations that the resorts put up. There are so many things. You can look at it from so many different perspectives. You can appreciate it for the beauty, of course, but there's also a lot to be learned about how they go about it. probably the most impressive thing that we saw was the gingerbread house at the Grand Floridian that they put up every year. You can kind of go on a self-guided tour, but they do have cast members there available to answer questions and talk about how they make the house and all sorts of things. They actually start making the gingerbread in June for this house and storing it up for putting it together for the holiday season. So this is, again, it's a free opportunity. You could decide however you want to do it. You might just do a monorail resort loop and hit all the resorts that are on the monorail, or you could go off and experience other places like the Animal Kingdom Lodge as well. Just depends on what your time situation is with how you structure your vacation. But it's really an opportunity for you to educate yourself and go and enjoy some real beautiful decorations at the holidays.
Tim and Amy, are you guys holiday people? Do you guys decorate the house to the nines at home?
Probably not as much as some people, but we definitely have the Disney tree.
More of an interior decorating yes. than exterior.
Yeah. Chicago kind of forces that upon you unless you're really hardcore, right?
Yes.
You're either in shorts when you put up outside lights in Chicago or you are wearing a parka.
That's true. Pete, I saw you talking about those Disney lights, too. You might become a Disney Christmas guy, too, as well.
Oh, they'll be inside. Don't worry.
Yeah. So, Tim, here's what I like most about your thought is, you know, if you go at holiday time, it sounds nice. It sounds fun until you see the sheer level of crowds that are there. And so you're kind of unprepared, no matter how prepared you are, to see how busy the parks are. So this offers you an opportunity where it's not going to be nearly as crowded. It's going to be at your own pace. Get yourself a drink. Get yourself a cupcake at the resort. You know, go from resort to resort and just appreciate how much work it goes into it. And every resort is decorated fancier than the last one you just saw. It's completely impressive.
Yeah.
But what I liked about it, too, was that you were able to see the different cultures and the different from the different areas. So if you went to the beach club, for instance, they had a moving gingerbread carousel that had starfish and things on it that, you know, are from that, you know, like Cape May area.
Okay.
And whereas you went to the Grand Floridian, and it was very much like the Victorian type of era. So
they had a person by the Christmas tree at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, and she was out there for the express purpose of saying, can I answer any questions? Do you want to know what this ornament means? And
yes.
That was exactly the educational experience you were talking about.
Yep.
Exactly.
So let me put you guys on the spot then. I'm going to have you guys cross over, and you're not even prepared for this. So let me put you on the spot. So brainstorming with me quickly, I had Tamara Spidell on, and she talked about the top educational experiences inside the parks, and she had some great suggestions. So I know you're not prepared for this. Think about this. What would be the top educational experience inside the parks?
For each of us or just...
Yeah, for each of you. And Pete, give me one too as well. Give me a top educational experience inside the park.
Well, I know Tim's.
Tim, fire away if you're ready.
Well, I don't know. I was going to kind of probably save this one for Pete's inevitable question that comes at the end. But all right. So my favorite educational experience is Spaceship Earth. Spaceship Earth. I teach sixth grade world history. So I've often said anybody that's ever gone on Spaceship Earth, most of that is like being on a ride of my class.
Yeah, it's Mr. Van Swole's class, right?
Absolutely. So that would be my top one.
How do you beat it? Very good. Amy, do you have a good one?
Well, I really like the KidCot stops going around to Epcot, where they can bring a Duffy around and meet with the cast members and learn about their cultures. That is one of my favorite things to do, even though my kids are older. We still do them.
You know what? My son has his Duffy in his room still. It's half-colored because obviously he didn't have time, and he's got little stamps from every country, and I think they try to write his name in everyone's language.
Yes.
That's very good. It was we didn't mention that earlier, but that's incredibly intelligent. That's exactly educational, so wonderful. Pete, you got one for us?
I mean, I know Tamara brought up Behind the Seeds tour. Mm-hmm. I really want to do the Keys of the Kingdom tour.
Okay.
It's educational only from a standpoint of you learn a lot of Disney history.
It's fantastic. I got a chance to do that with my oldest son when we went last November, and it is well worth it.
You went on the whole Keys of the Kingdom tour, Tim.
Yes.
Give me your 30-second synopsis then. Tell me.
You start off on Main Street, and you can do an entire college course on the history and things that are on Main Street USA alone, with all the details of what's in the windows, just, you know, all the meanings of everything. There's nothing that doesn't have significance that is part of the experience of Main Street USA, from the music to the paintings in the windows, everything. And then they eventually do take you backstage, and you get to see, it's drab. It is, you know, this gray everything, but it's because it's backstage and they tell you all about their reasoning behind everything. Nothing is done without a significant reason. It includes a lunch. We ate at the Columbia Harbor House that day, and then they finish back up above stage level again, and it's a wonderful experience, packed with information. You get to go on a couple of rides in the course of the time. We went on Jingle Cruise, which was, you know, the Jungle Cruise at holiday time, and also Haunted Mansion was part of our tour as well.
Mm-hmm. How did Amy not go on this?
Because I stayed back with the kid that wasn't old enough, which was fine. But we have said that when he gets to be old enough, I get to take him.
that would seem fair. So
it was my Christmas present to them. And it was actually my 16-year-old's favorite thing of the whole entire trip.
Holy cow. Do you remember, I know you guys, I mean, by all means, I wouldn't think you would remember. But remember the cost per person for that?
Oh, it wasn't terrible. We had a Disney Visa discount as well, so the total with the two of them was $140.
Wow, Pete, it's cheap.
Yeah, I think it's like $100.
It's cheap,
and then you get your either AP or your Disney Visa discount. So,
wow, those are some awesome suggestions. So,
and you got a special pin along with it too, if I remember right. So.
Yeah, it's like a skeleton key pin that says that kind of symbolizes the Keys to the Kingdom tour. So.
Did they walk you? That's the one where they walk you through the utilidors, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, how did I not mention that? Yeah, you get to go down in the utilidors. You don't get to go through a lot of it. I mean, that's a vast tour in itself. But you do get to go down in there, and the utilidors alone are kind of a museum in themselves. There are displays that are on the walls of the utilidors, and they kind of take you along and talk about the significance of those. Displays and the history of Disney World as well.
Wow. Those are some really good suggestions, both inside and outside the parks. So, hey, Tim, I suppose you had something that an answer for a question Pete likes to ask. Pete, you ready, buddy?
Yep.
Fire away.
So, I know, Tim, you're ready for it. Hopefully, Amy, you're ready for it.
I will be.
We need your additions to the Disney Memories 5th Gate full of the extinct attractions.
Should I go first?
Go ahead.
All right. So, as I alluded to before, mine is Spaceship Earth related. But what I would like to see is I would like to have Spaceship Earth and have a customize your own experience Spaceship Earth, where you can choose which of the narrators from the history that you would like to experience on your ride through Spaceship Earth.
Whoa. I like that. So we were just talking about that. Walter Cronkite and Jeremy Irons and Judy Dench. Dame Judi Dench. And wasn't there another narrator, the original narrator? The name is escaping me.
His name is Lawrence Dobkin.
There you go, Lawrence Dobkin. I think I had heard that before from a show with Rod Wheaton, where he had Jim Corcus on. So, fabulous. That's a great idea. Would there be anything else customizable on that? Or just the narrator?
Oh, man. Whatever Disney engineering can come up with, Imagineering can come up with, I think that would be awesome. I don't know if the ride has changed over the course of the years or not. I've only seen it through with Judi Dench. So.
The descent sure has changed. When you're making your way back down at the end.
Tim, out of sheer ingenuity, even though it's not expired, that's got to go in.
Awesome.
Would you agree, Peter?
I've got it down.
Absolutely. Amy, you are up.
I'm not sure how we're going to have a second golf ball, but...
We could make Mickey ears. It's been a very long time, so I think it was called Horizons.
Okay, a Horizons.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a very, very long time since I was there, but I don't remember a lot of details, but I do remember going back in the 80s and having it be a lot of fun, so...
It is the gold standard of expired attractions. So, yeah. Yes, you and it seemed like every other hardcore Disney fan. That's on the top of our minds. So,
yeah,
awesome. We're gonna wrap this up, but Pete, I know we were talking about something earlier today. We have a giveaway to announce, correct?
We do. Okay. We were looking for the first correct answer to our trivia question regarding the land at Epcot. And we had a couple of really quick answers, but the absolute first correct response was given by Scott Gerke. So, Scott, we need you to get a hold of us. Get us your size requirement and your address, and we'll make sure that shirt gets to you. Congratulations.
Good job, Scott. The trivia questions again were, how big is the Land Pavilion in terms of size, and what song did Roy Clark sing at the television special for the opening of Epcot Center? So, and he was right. It ends up being 6 acres in terms of size, and the song was "This Land Is Your Land" are the correct answers. So, we had a bunch of really quick answers. I was surprised. Those are hard questions. So, Scott, again, good job, buddy. Anything else, big guy, for today?
No, pretty good for the rest of today.
Amy, Tim.
My voice is not really here today, so.
Wait, because you were singing This Land Is Your Land.
No.
Tim, Amy, anything before we go?
No, I don't think so.
No, we're good?
Yeah, thanks for asking us to do this.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
It's been a pleasure for us.
Well, so for my friends, Tim and Amy, and for my buddy Pete, thank you for listening today. Thank you for downloading today. I know we always ask for reviews, and if you would give us a review, we sure would appreciate that. And outside of that, we enjoy you spending some time with us. We hope we entertained you, and have a good evening.
See you, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Did I just say we enjoy you spending time with us?
Yeah, you did.
That's not good. Oh, man.